We're up to Daf Yud Tes here. We're on the last line of Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara told us, quoting from the Mishnah, Hayisa Ksuva B'Sam, the different types of inks that were used for the Megillah don't work. So what's Sam? The Gemara says Sam is Sama. It doesn't really help us much unless you know Aramaic. But Sama means it's a type of gold ink. What? Sap? Okay. Sikra, the Mishnah says. Okay. Sikra, says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Rechana, Sikrasa Shema. It's called Sikrasa. And Sikrasa is a type of red dye. Kumos, what's kumos? It says a kuma, which is some type of sap here. I don't know what color comes out. And then kankantum, what does that mean? That is a charsa dushkafe. It's a type of black ink that's used by the by people making leather. And then we say diftara, that wasn't good either. That's dimalach, a type of cloth that's been salted, the one of the way you treat the leather, the skin. And kamiach, and it also has you soak it in water and flour. Low office, but it doesn't have the top layer, some type of gloss is not on top of this that type of cloth. That does not work. What's niyar? Niyar is mechaka. Mechaka, Rashi says, is min asavim, some type of grass, also ayde davach, like glue. Anybody ever been to Egypt here? No, so I was in Egypt once. I went to Cairo. And they have what's called papyrus. If you grew up, the first paper was papyrus. So they show you how papyrus works. So it's a type of weed, almost like wheat. And you put it, you soak it in the water, and it gets very gluey. And you put it together and makes it into this type of paper. So that's what I think he's referring to here, this type of niyar. It's a papyrus, a gluey type of paper. So the Gemara says further, Ad shetei ksuva ashuris, until, so it's only kosher if you write it in Hebrew. How do you know you have to write it in Hebrew? So the Gemara brings a raya, dechsev kichsavam ukizmanam, has to be the way it was written. So the way it was written in the Megillah, initially it was Lashon HaKodesh, so too has to be now written Lashon HaKodesh. Al Sefer B'diyo, the Gemara says, quoting the Mishnah. So Minolan, how do you know that has to be written on a Sefer? So the Gemara says, Asya ksiva ksiva. It says ksiv hacha in the Megillah, v'tichasev Esther Malka, she wrote it. In ksiv hasam, it's written elsewhere. This is a pasuk that's found in Yirmiyah. It says, Vayomer lehem baruch mipiv yikare eili eskal dvarm ha'elev. Ani kosev ala Sefer B'diyo. It says ksiva in pasuk Yirmiyah. It says ksiva in Megillah's Esther. So just like ksiva in Yirmiyah, is dafka b'sefer u'b'dio, in ink and paper, or cloth, so too Megillah's Esther has to be written in that way. Okay. Mishnah tells us that ben ir shehalach lekrach, a person who lives in the city, referring to a non-walled city, goes to a krach, which is referring to a walled city. So you're a guy who lives in the you're supposed to be in the 14th, but you travel to the walled city. Or ben krach, guy in the walled city, who shalach le'ir, who goes to the very unwalled city. So what's the halacha? Im asid lach sur l'mkomo, if he's planning going back to his home, so then kari kimkomo, he goes back and he reads like he reads in his regular house. The Gemara will explain what that means. Vimlav, if he doesn't plan on going back to where he comes from, then kari imahim, he reads with the city that he's staying with. New topic in the Mishnah, umehechan kara adam es ha-megillah, v'yotei ba'yidei chavaso. How much, which part of the Megillah does a person need to listen to, need to read in order to be yotei the mitzvah? So Rabbi Meir Omer, kulo, you have to read the entire thing from the beginning, va'ibim achashverosh, until the last pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Mish Yehudi, only from that part where we're introduced to Mordechai, from that point on, do you need to read? And Rabbi Yossi Omer, me'achar adram ha'ila, from that point on, you have to read to be yotzei the mitzvah Megillah. The Gemara explained why that machlokes is. So Gemara explains how Amar Rava, lo shanu ela she'asu lachzor b'layla yadalid, this is only true. What's only true? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains, you go all the way up to the top of Rashi's three narrow lines down. Lo shanu, the ben krach shahalach le'ir, if a 15th guy, a walled city guy, goes to an unwalled city, v'asid lachzor l'mkom, he plans on going back to the walled city, kori b'chamisha asar v'lo b'arbasar, he reads with the 15th and not the 14th, that's only if he plans on returning the night of the 14th. So let's say, for example, this year, Thursday is the 14th and Friday is the 15th. So Wednesday night is the 14th already. So Wednesday night, let's say I live in Yerushalayim, and I'm outside Yerushalayim, Wednesday night, it's the 14th. So the Gemara explains, when do I not have to read on the 14th? If I plan on going back Wednesday night, even though Wednesday night they're reading where I am, outside Yerushalayim, they're reading in, I don't know, Ramat Beit Shemesh. They're reading tonight. I plan on going back to Yerushalayim that evening. I don't have to read with them on the 14th, because I'm going back that night. Aval, I'm going back Wednesday night. I plan on going back later that night. I'm in Rabat Beit Shemesh, they're reading the Megillah, I don't have to stay. I could go back to wherever I'm staying while they're reading the Megillah. Because later, a couple hours later, I plan on going back Wednesday night, and not until Thursday night will I be reading, but I'm not part of that city since I'm leaving early. The idea is, when are you considered part of that city to have to read with them? If I don't stay overnight, I'm not considered part of that city, even though I'm there while they're reading it.
Are you not allowed to?
You're certainly allowed. No, certainly you're allowed to listen. There's nothing wrong.
But
exactly, but it's not a mitzvah. You're not Yotze, and there's certainly no.
You know what might happen tomorrow? I mean, if you're here now and they're reading the Megillah and everybody's reading the Megillah, and you have the opportunity to do the.
But if you have no chiyuv, just like a child is at Bris Mila, it's day seven. You don't say, well, you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Maybe I shouldn't.
No,
but there's no chiyuv for this guy. No, this guy has no chiyuv though.
But he's in a kind of mitzvah if he doesn't read with them?
No.
Oh, he's not. So that's
no, he's alone. You asked if he's allowed to listen. Of course he's allowed to listen. There's nothing wrong with listening.
Kind of mitzvah?
Granted. Yeah, granted.
So it's like hearing Parsha Zohar a second time. You can listen to it, but you're not getting the mitzvah.
Lachor, you're not. Once you get the mitzvah once, you're Yotze once a year for Parsha Zohar. Aval ein asid lachzer b'leil bar basar. If he does not plan on going back the 14th, he plans on staying overnight till Thursday morning in this place. Then he's Kari Imahim, he should read with them the Wednesday night. He's considered part of that city. So Amar Rava, Rava explains, how do I know this? That if you stay overnight, you're considered part of that city, even though you don't really live there. The Pasuk says, Al-Kain ha-Yehudim ha-Prazim, ha-Yoshim bar-Prazos. The Jews of the unwalled cities who are living in the unwalled cities. Sounds very superfluous. So Michti, let's understand this for a moment. Ksiv ha-Yehudim ha-Prazim, it says the people who live in the city, so lamli le-michtav ha-Yoshim bar-Prazos. Why do you have to repeat again where they lived? So, Hakamash Milan, the Paras ben Yomo Nikra Paras. It's extra to tell me that a person who's there just for one day is considered a dweller in the unwalled cities. So if you stay there overnight until the morning, that makes you a ben Praz Yomo. Ben Yomo Praz, right, the Praz ben Yomo. So Gemara says, Ashkhan Paras, so that's a Mefurish Pasuk, that's true. If you live in an unwalled city for one day, you're considered a dweller of the unwalled cities. But what about Mukaf Menolan? How do I know if I'm spending the night over in a walled city, I'm going to be chayav to listen on the 15th if I was the opposite direction? Gemara says it's Svaru. This is a very logical thing to say because me the Paras ben Yomo Kari Paras. So Mukaf ben Yomo Kari Mukaf. Once I establish that person who stays overnight in an unwalled city is considered a dweller of an unwalled city, so there shouldn't be any difference if you're staying in a walled city for one night, you should also be considered a dweller of the walled city. So that same halacha applies across the board. So Amar Rava, Rava says now, Ben Kfar Shalach Le'ir. Now this is referring to a person who lives in the village. If you remember back to the beginning of Masechta, that a Ben Kfar, he's allowed to read Yom HaKnisa either Monday and Thursdays. Exactly. So let's say he Ben Kfar, he goes to the city, Bein kach u bein kach kori imahim. He reads with them regardless. So Rashi just explained something that's very important here. A ben kfar, it's around halfway down the Rashi. Exactly. Shehiktim v'kar li maknisa. He went in on Monday. Let's say this year it doesn't work out well. Let's say it falls out on Wednesday. Purim falls out on Wednesday. So he goes in Monday to do his business and he reads the Megillah there because he's allowed to because Yom HaKnisa. He happens to return back for whatever reason. He goes back on Wednesday, the Yud Dalet Adar. So the halacha is he's supposed to read again with them on Yud Dalet. My time. Well, what's the reason? Hi, the Kibnei Yir by the Mikra. He has to read like the people in the city because that's really the Mikra din. He's supposed to read on the 14th. That's the Ikra day. Rabbanan who da kilu akvarim. The Rabbanan were makel on the villagers. Kidei shisapku mayim umazon lachayim. This is actually this. The reason was changed. If you remember the Gemara is in Perek Aleph. We change the reason. It wasn't because in order for them to be available to provide it. It's because they provided, that's the zechus we gave them to be makel. So since they provide to the big city dwellers, the food and water, we're makel on them. So again, kideshi sapku mainu mazon lachim shebekrachim, we were leaning on them to read on Yom HaKnisa. But that leniency only applied hani mile ki isa beduchte when they were staying home on the day of Purim. They were in the kfar and no one was able to read to them. Aval ki isa beir when they are in the city on the day of Purim, givnei ayir ba'i lemikra. Then they would have to read the Mikra Megillah. So that would be actually an interesting trivia question. This would be a situation, when could it be that a person can be mekayim the mitzvah four times? So an example would be Ben Kfar, who was the Yom HaKnisa, listened to it twice. And then he came back to the city the day of Yud Dalet, he would listen to it two other times. That would be, the only case. A person would have to listen to...
What about the case of the ear and the crack? when he's
very good.
Sometimes you're gonna have it read it twice. So
exactly.
On the 14th, and he goes back on Thursday because Walt City has to read it.
Exactly. So a guy.
Both of them are chiyuv.
Exactly. So let's say the guy from Yerushalayim, he's in Beit Shemesh. He stays overnight, Wednesday night and Thursday. He listens to it twice, and then goes back later Wednesday afternoon, and now he's in Yerushalayim Thursday night, so he'd have to read it a third and a fourth time
as
well.
Mm-hmm.
This also is a chiyuv. They both.
But Rabbi, you've been...
Read a kfar and have to do it six times.
Yeah.
If you go to Unwalled City and then a Walled City.
No, kfar, if you live in a small town, you have to go to the Yom HaKnisa.
Right, I'm saying, so Yom HaKnisa, then he goes to the 14th on Walled City, then he goes to the Walled City on the 15th, so I guess you can get...
Nobody really stay home, this guy.
Yom HaKnisa, chiyuv for him if he's going to be in the city.
Let's say he doesn't know where he's going to be on the 14th and 15th. So then it would be, yeah.
But don't we have the first Mishnah because it outlines to us that as long as you're between the 11th and the 15th, you're okay. So why are we really worried? You're okay as long as you're between... That's why we have the first Mishnah. It allows us to know that regardless of your situation, between the 11th and the 15th, you're safe.
You might be safe, but at the same time, in the situation, you create an additional chiyuv for yourself.
This is really the only mitzvah that you create additional chiyuv as time goes on. In other words, you don't have a mitzvah that you have to keep an extra day of sukkah as time changes. There's no other...
Right, it could be. I have to think, but it sounds... It could be. I don't know offhand. Nothing else comes to mind. You could be correct. I don't want to say that. That's definitely true.
As you're traveling, you're creating a new chiyuv in time.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why wouldn't that apply to residents of Yerushalayim who's somewhere else?
What do you mean?
Under a similar concept, even if he's not there overnight. Because the guy who goes to...
He's not considered... If he's not there overnight, he's not considered a bar chiyuva.
So the guy who went to the Ir on a Yom Knisa, and he goes back on the Yud Dalet, and he's not staying overnight. What's
the din? He would have to say, because his Iker Chiv is really Yadalad, and he's there. It's not because he's called a Ben Ir at that time. It's because his Chiv is the Yadalad. So I don't... That
Shushan Purim the same word at that point of life.
I probably... If he would be in some place, Shushan Purim, like Yerushalayim, Lechor would have the same Chiv, I think. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I don't know. It might depend on which Kfar connects to which cities. I mean, if they normally go to a Yerushalayim as their big city, so his real chiyuv is probably the 15th. If the real city he goes to is a non-walled, that his real chiyuv is really the 14th. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, let's go back to now. The Gemara says, Eisive, Abai ben krach shehalach leir, ben kach kari bim kimkomo, a person of a walled city who then goes to a non-walled city, he reads ben kach u ben kach. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Kimkomo, he reads like his place. So he does not read like the city that he goes to. He always reads the 15th, because he's a Ben Krach. He's a person of the 15th. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? So Ben Krach, Sagadaitak, would you really think this? He always goes based on where he comes from? Be'im asir lachzor talya misa. We said in the Mishnah, it all depends when does he plan on returning. It's not a definite psak, he always reads the 15th. It all depends. Does he plan on going back to Yerushalayim, or does he not plan on going back to Yerushalayim? So there's obviously a mistake here in the Braisa. So Ella La Ben Kfar. What it should say, it's not Ben Krach, but it should be a Ben Kfar. Ben Kfar who goes both on Yom HaKnisa and the regular day of Purim, he has to read on both those days. That's what it means to say. So therefore we see from here. So what's the question here? So we say, how's the Kashya? That a Ben Kfar always reads Kimkomo. Is there Rashi here? Let's see. What's the Shaila here? So Ben Kfar, who goes to a big city, so he said, the Bryce is Ben Kach, he always, if he plans on returning back to the big city on Yadalid, if he doesn't plan on going back, let's see, he reads Kimkomo. So even though he stays overnight, the Braisa says, even though he stays overnight in a city, he still does not have to read on the 14th. We said before, a guy who reads on Yom HaKnisa, if he goes to a city on Yudalad, he has to read with Yudalad. But this new Braisa that we just changed, that a Ben Kfar, who does go to the walled city, or unwalled city, he does not have to read like the city. He always goes Kimkomo, he was Yotzi already, be Yom HaKnisa, and does not have to read a second time. That's the Shaila of the Gemara. So the Gemara responds, V'lav t'rutza mitartas. Didn't we already answer this? Meaning, didn't we already prove that there was a mistake in the Braisa? The mistake we said was Ben Krach really should be ben kfar. So once we already establish that there's one mistake, we could say there's another mistake also. It shouldn't be that the ben kfar now reads kimkomo. You should read it as tani kore imahem. He reads with them. So if the ben kfar listened on Yom HaKnisa and he now goes to a city on Yudalit, he would have to read imahem on Yudalit a second time. So it is consistent with what we said above.
When the Gemara is talking about Kriya, are they also talking about the other mitzvahs?
We said before, early in the Masechta, that the Yom HaKriya, they have Kriyas Megillah, is when you do Matanos Lev Yonim. So the Yom HaKnisa, if they were reading Megillah, you would do Matanos Lev Yonim, but Shalach Manos only takes place on Yudalit, even if in the Ben Kfar.
Even Yerushalayim nowadays?
Oh no, that would be Tezvav. Whatever day the Iker Purim is for you, that's when you do Shalach Manos.
When you go back to reading again, would you repeat the Matanos Lev Yonim?
It's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure. Lachor, you're Yotze ready, but maybe not. I'm not sure. Gemara now says, yeah.
Miguel, is it when you wait, if you're going to stay overnight, so then you're going to stay there, or are you going to have in mind to go back? Which one is it?
Say that again.
If you're going to stay that night, then you should read with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it with that you're going to have in mind to go back?
If the halach is, if you stay overnight in whatever city you're in, you become part of that city and you have to listen with them.
Not to go back.
Then you're not staying overnight. So either if you plan on staying overnight, so you're not returning. So the Gemara says, Meheichan kari adam es Megillah. The Gemara had a three-way machlokes. How much of the Megillah do you have to read to be yotzi the mitzvah? So the Gemara says, Tanya kotzer b'raisa Rav Shbi, Rav Shim bar Yochai Omer, mi belai lahu. There's another machlokes. From that night where Achashverosh had he couldn't fall asleep, that's when you have to read. Amr b'yochran, V'chulon mikra echa darshit. They're all darshing the same exact pasuk. What's the pasuk? The pasuk appears in Megillah. Esther v'tichtov Esther hamalka u'morcha Yehudi eskol tokef. So they read the entire tokef, the whole essence of the Megillah. So mand damar kula. So the one who says the entire thing needs to be read. So what's the tokef? What's the storyline? The tokef shel Achashverosh. The entire story about Achashverosh. So he was the very first pasuk by he b'me Achashverosh. So you have to read his entire story. That's why the first pasuk is needed. You need kula. Man damar mi shihudi. So how do they define the word tokef in that pasuk above? Tokef shel Mordechai. All you have to do is read about Mordechai's life. So only once we're introduced to him, from that point on, is necessary. That's Tokef shel Haman. That's where we're introduced to all Haman's plans. So that's all that has to be read. Uman damar mi b'layla hahu. From that pasuk, that's the Rashbi's opinion. Tokef shel Neis. That's the beginning of the Neis starting to unfold. That's why you have to read from that pasuk on. Rav Huna amar mihachi. He says no. There's a different pasuk that they're arguing about. You know what the pasuk that they're arguing about? How much to read? It's based on the following pasuk. It says, "Ma ra'u al kacha u'mahagia lehem." What did they see on this, and what did they receive in return for this? So, what's the machlokas now? How do you interpret this pasuk? Man damar kula, the one who says you need to read the entire Megillah. Ma ra'u Achashverosh shenishdamish bekelim shel beis hamikdash. What did Achashverosh see that he felt the need to use the kelim of the beis hamikdash? Akacha mishum, for the following reason, mishum dechashiv shivim shanim, like we learned in the first parak, he started calculating the 70 years of galus v'lo yifarik, and he realized that Klai Yisrael wasn't redeemed, so he thought they were eternally banished from the Eretz Yisrael from the Beis Hamikdash. So mahagil alem. So what did he read? What did he receive in return for making this mistake? The cult of Vashti, that he had killed Vashti. So interpreting that pasuk, it's all about Achashverosh. So therefore, you have to read the entire Megillah about Achashverosh. Uman the Rami Shihudi, the one who says you have to read simply from Mordechai and on. So how do they interpret this pasuk that Rav Huna brought? Ma ra Mordechai diknei b'Haman. Why is Mordechai upset and causes jealousy with Haman? Akacha, because of the following reason, the shavi nafshei avodah zarah, since Haman made himself into be an avodah zarah. Uma gilem, what did he reach in return for Mordechai doing this? What was his schar? The israche shenisa, that he had a nes performed on his behalf. Uman damar me'achar dvam heilo, the one who thinks from those psukim and on, ma ra Haman shiniskane bechol hayudim, why was Haman jealous from all the Jews? Al kacha, because mishum de Mordechai lo yicharev lo yishtachave, because Mordechai did not bow to him, that got him so angry. Uma gilem, so what did he get in return for this? V'salo osov esbonav al ha'etz, he was hanged along with his 10 of his sons. Uman damar mi'bilalahu, so the one who says, the Rashbi who says, from that night on, that's when you have to read it. Ma ra, how does he interpret it? Ma ra, Achashverosh, what did Achashverosh see? Lahavi, Sefer Zichronos, that to bring his storybook, Al kacha, because the zimnasei Esther lahaman ba'adei, because Esther had invited Haman to join them for the suda. Umagilem, what did he get in return? This rach shenisa nes happened because of this. So Amar Rav Chalba, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav Halacha, Kedirei HaOmer Kula. We paskin that you have to read the entire thing. V'afil man damar mishihudi, and even the one who thinks it's enough to read it from Mordechai's introduction, Tricha should take Ksuva Kula. We read this yesterday, I think we saw this, that the entire Megillah has to be written in front of you, has to be all in front of you, even though you don't have to read the entire thing according to all opinions. But it has to all be there in front of you.
Are you
thinking
of the
evidence? With mishihudi? I don't know. I'm not sure. It would seem maybe you could be. Otherwise, why would they say Vafilu? Why introduce a Vafilu?
So if you miss it, let's say someone's in there and the kid's making noise, you run out for a second, the first parak.
I hear it's very lemaisa. Well, I was at, once I was in Or HaChaim in Queens, and it's a Purim night, and they just, I think, just finished the brachas. And one pause again, an older man passed out. And nobody knew what to do. Nobody wanted to like interrupt. And the poor guy was lying there. And
probably shouldn't
have done. Probably not. And Megillah is docha a lot of things, but it's not docha that. So everyone was just very, very silent, and no one wanted to lose the opportunity of being able to the Megillah. Not that anyone knew what to do anyways, unless you were from Hatzalah. So anyway, so quickly, there's enough Hatzalah guys there in Queens to take care of him. But, yeah. Right. But I guess that's when things really start shifting around. Everything was obviously developing, and you're seeing it slowly progress, but that was a turning point, I guess. Okay, let's go weiter. Gemara says the last few lines of the Amud Aleph here. Amar Bechalba, Amar Rav Huchama, Bar Guri, Amar Rav, Megillah, Nikres Sefer, Nikres Igeris. It's called the Sefer Torah, but it's also called the Nigeris, the two different psukim that appear in Megillas Esther, one calling it a letter and one calling it a Sefer Torah. What's the Nafkamina? Nikres Sefer, it's called the Sefer Torah with respect to Shem Tafer Bechute, Pishan Psula. The halacha is when you sew the different cloth together of a Sefer Torah, you have to use gidin, the sinews of a Behema Torah. You're not allowed to use pishan, some type of flax. You can't use cotton or any other cloth. Cannot be used for the Sefer Torah. So that halacha applies to Megillah. It's called the Sefer in that you cannot use pishan. And it's nikres igeris, is called a letter with respect to shim hitil bo shlosha chute gidin ksherim. If you look at a lot of Megillahs, they only have three, usually have three knots, I guess, that they sew together, but a Sefer Torah is much more than three. I don't know how many they need, maybe five, but they need more when it comes to Sefer Torah and higher up on the cloth. So when it guards, when it comes, what? To keep the cloth together. You have like it sewed together when you get to the where the parchment separates. So there's a little thing that's sewed. Not sometimes a little tape over it, but there's a little, they have like threads. It's made of animal sinews that they tie together. So Megillah only needs to have three, as opposed to Sefer Torah needs much more. So it's called an igeres in regards to how many that's needed. It doesn't need as much. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman u'bilvad shehu mishulashim, even though the Megillah only requires three, they have to be evenly spread out, one-third, one-third, one-third. Some of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, the Hakari Megillah, Ksuva Benam, Ksuvim Lo Yotza. Let's say a person has an entire Tanakh on one scroll. And Megillah's Esther is one of the 24 books of Tanakh. So let's say I want to read Megillah while it's connected to all the other books. The Halach is Lo Yotza, you're not Yotze. Because it's not a Din of Igeris. It's scrolled. It doesn't have a Din of Igeris. But Amar Rava says, Lo Amrin, Elo Dilo Mechasri Miasre. It's only true if it's not missing or if it's not adding. Purta, a little bit. Aval mechaso miyasa purta less than ba. But it's a little bit longer, a little bit shorter. So let's say the cloth's this height, and the Megillah Esther, we get to that it's a larger cloth or a shorter cloth. There's something that's different about the size. So then less than ba, that halacha doesn't apply. Meaning you are yotze since there's something different about it. It makes it stick out, and you would be yotze that way. Last line of the Amud here, Levi Bar Shmuel have a kari kame de Rabbi Yehuda the Megillah haksuva bein ha ksuvim. He was once reading a Megillah Esther that was found in between the other Svarim. So the halacha is, Amr le hare amru, the hakari b'megillah haksuva bin haksavim lo yasa. We say you can be yotze in such a Megillah. How could he do this? So Amr b'chira baraba, Amr b'yochran, hakari b'megillah haksuva bin haksavim lo yasa. Umachala amucha b'tzi, he hits him on the forehead. B'tzi b'rshani, that halacha that you have to use, you can't use it when it's bin haksuvim, that's only when it's being read b'tzi b'r. But this situation, he was reading B'yachid apparently is permitted. I'm not sure they're different. Why b'yachar it's allowed, b'tibur it's not allowed though. I'm not sure the svara, but that's the difference. Okay, Vayta the Gemara says Amar b'chia b'rab, Amar b'yochran, shiur hatafar halacha l'mosh misinai. So what does that mean? Leaving over some of the tefer, some of the part above the where it's sewed, that's halacha mosh misinai. What does that mean? If you look at Rashi two lines down, shiur hatefer kishatofer niyirios shall sefer Torah. When you sew the different parchments together in the Sefer Torah, lechabram yachad to connect them, mishayarin betefer lemala ulmata. You have to leave a little space. We know it's not always connected on top. There's a little space on above each of the stitches. So the Gemara says that's a halachal Moshe Mesinai. So machle amucha, he hits him over the head again, and vlo amru ela kadesh lo yikare. That's not halachal Moshe Mesinai. That's for practical purposes. They place a little space on top so that it shouldn't rip. What do you mean it shouldn't rip? How does that help but not rip? So Rashi explains two narrow lines down, Kadesh lo yikareya, shim eino mishaya mihadek bechazaka. If you don't leave anything over there, you go mamash to the top of the cloth, kishum hadako lesefer Torah, who nikrat's going to rip. Va'achshev kishum hadako bekach umaschil laharchiv rota lekareya moneh melhadik yoser. I think what's going on here, when you start, let's say, doing hagba, and you start separating the different parchment, so once you start seeing the cloth like separate a little bit, you'll stop there. You won't have any pull on the stitch, because you already see it separating. But if the stitch is mamash on the top, you're not going to see it beginning to separate. So then, once you start pulling, it might be too late at that point. There's no warning sign that you're already pulling it too much. So I think that's what Rashi is trying to describe here. So it's not halacha moshe mesinai. It's simply for practical purposes to avoid the parchment from ripping. Vayta, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, il malei nishtar b'mara sh'amar b'moshe v'Eliyahu. Had there been a little crack in the cave that Moshe was in and Eliyahu was in, Kimali nekev macha, like a small little needle hole. Sadekas, lo hayu yichol na'amod mipnei ha'ora. You couldn't stand, a person couldn't withstand the light. This is referring to when a Kadosh Baruch Hu had passed in front of Moshe and passed in front of Eliyahu and Navi, respectively. So then you couldn't, exactly. The Pasuk says, Shinemar kilo yirenu ha'adam v'chai. A person can't see Hashem and live. So had there been a little crack, just a tiny crack, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu passed in front of them, no one would be able to see because the light was so strong. Amr b'chiyah ba'aba, Amr b'yochanan, my dichsi, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, Va'aleim kechol ha'dvarim, asher diber Hashem imachim, bahar. So what's going on here? So on them, all those things Hashem spoke with you, bahar and har Sinai. Milameid shehareyo ha'kadosh baruch hu l'moshe, dikduke Torah v'dikduke sofrim, u'mashe sofrim asidin l'chadish. Ha'kadosh baruch hu was taught, rather Moshe Benu was taught everything, every dik that's going to be made, every drasha, every new halacha, what's the chiddush that's going to be taught by the sofer? Mikra Megillah. That there's going to be a 24th book added to the Sifrei Tanakh, namely Megillas Esther. But this is the Gemara, Tosa Medrash, that says that Moshe Benu knew every single thing. So that's, I think we mentioned this earlier. Did we discuss this once before? Elu v'elu divrei lekum chaim? Maybe we didn't discuss this. Fascinating machlokas, Rishonim and Achronim. How much did Moshe Benu really, really know? So this Gemara sounds like he knew everything. Every diktuk he knew. So some Rishonim say, yes, he knew everything. He knew everything that we're going to be a Chaddish. Very good. So that's one Rai. They say he didn't know everything. Right. Others say that it's a nice pshat. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the Ksav changed from Ksav Ivri to Ksav Ashurus. It was a completely different script that was being used. He just never saw that before. But that is a Rai they bring from the Gemara Menachos there, that he didn't know everything. So what did he know then? The Gemara says he knew everything. So some suggest, I think it's the Ritvan Ervin writes, that he was given over the proper tools how to darshan the Torah. He wasn't told every result, every drasha to be made, but he was taught the tools, so he knew what you could be made. But there's a fascinating Yamsha Shlomo in Sagdama to Sefer Yamsha Shlomo, and Sefer Baba Kama, he writes that he was told everything, actually. Everything, there were these different pipelines of Torah, all the different lightnings and thunders that was coming out, was a different avenue you could tap into, and all different pshatim were given, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew every possible thing. That you and I, when we're mechadish, or someone else is mechadish, or something else, we're tapping into a certain sinur, a certain pipe from Har Sinai. But it was all given to Moshe Rabbeinu, every single detail he knew, based on this Gemara. Okay, The Mishnah now tells us, Hakol Ksherin Likros Etz Megillah Chus Mecheirish Shotev Katan. Everybody is kosher to read the Megillah, with the exception of a Cheirish, a Shotev and a Katan, someone who's deaf, someone who doesn't have the proper Das, and a Katan, someone who's under the age of 13. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Katan, Rabbi Yehuda says that a Katan is allowed to read the Megillah. So Man Tani Cheirish Di'Evin Nami Lo. The Gemara gets a little tricky here. So let's see, the Gemara says, who's the one who says that a Cheirish, even Bidiyevet, is not able to Yote, you can't be Yote in the Mikra Megillah, even Bidiyevet is not good. Amar Rav Masna Rabbi Yosihi. Who's Rabbi Yosi? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us that HaKoreis Shema V'lo Hishmi L'Ozno Yotza. Person who reads and doesn't hear what he says, you're still Yote the Mitzvah. Rabbi Yosi Omer Lo Yotza. You're not Yote. If you don't hear the words, you're not Yote. So if you and I don't hear the words, we're not Yote. So certainly a Cheirish shouldn't be Yotze either, Bidiyevet. So just like Rabbi Yossi says, a Cheirish is not Yotze Shema, Bidiyevet, so too is not Yotze Mikra Megillah either, Bidiyevet. So he must be the author of our Mishnah. Umimayde Rabbi Yossi, Bidiyevet. Who said that our Mishnah is talking about a Cheirish can't read and even Bidiyevet is no good? Nami lo. Dilmat Rabbi Yehuda, Ulechachil Hudulo, Hodiyevet Shaper Dami. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about Lechachila, we don't let a Cheirish read. But perhaps Bidiyevet, one would be Yotze from hearing a Cheirish. So Gemara says, Lo Sakatatak, you would never think that. Because the Katani Cheirish Dumi the Shot of a Katan. The fact that we couple Cheirish together with the Shot and a Katan, so we have the same din. Mak Shot of a Katan, everybody agrees. If a Shot and Katan were to read the Megillah, everybody agrees, Dieved Nami Lo, you're not Yotz the Mitzvah. So Av Cheirish Dieved Nami Lo. The fact that it was grouped together tells us that even Bidiyevet doesn't work. The Cheirish doesn't work, Bidiyevet, it must be Rabbi Yosi. Gemara says, what do you mean? Who says just because they're grouped together they have the same halachas? V'dilma hakadisa hakadisa. Maybe when it comes to a katan and a shota bidiyevet it doesn't work, but maybe with respect to a cheresh bidiyevet it does work. Mita katani seifa, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda mach shibre katan. No, I have another eye that it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. From the very fact that the seifa is Rabbi Yehuda, mechlal deresh alav Rabbi Yehuda. That certainly implies that Rabbi Yehuda did not author the beginning. So who's the only other possible author? It must be that Rabbi Yosi authored it. And even Bidiyevet, you're not Yotze with a Cheresh. Mar says, why is that a Raya? Maybe Dilma Kula Rabbi Yehudi. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda authored the entire Mishnah, both the Tanakama and the Seifa. So Gemara says, Umi Dami Reishal Psula V'Seifa L'Kshera. So, it doesn't make any sense. The Reisha says Pasul, and the Seifa says Kshera. So how could you say Rabbi Yehuda authored the Reisha and the Seifa? There's a steer, Minei Obey. Rabbi Yehuda first says it's Kasher with a Cheresh, and then he says it's with the Katan, rather. And then he says it's Kasher with the Katan. So Gemara says, no, maybe Dilma Kula Rabbi Yehudi Vitre Gavne Katan Katanilu. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is referring to two different types of Katanim. And there's a Chasur Mechzer, there's something missing in the Mishnah. And we could read it as follows. V'halchi Katani. We're rereading the Mishnah to be like Rabbi Yehuda. So it would say, Hakol Ksherin Lekosis Megillah, everybody can read the Megillah, Chutz Mechei Shot V'Katan, except for those three. Ba'med V'amurim, when is this true? V'Katan Shelo Gila Chinuch, where he's not able to, he hasn't reached the age of Chinuch. Aval b'katan shegila chinuch afri l'chachila, even l'chachila he's able to read. Shabbi Huda mach shabbi katan, because Rabbi Huda holds in general he permits a katan. So very nice. Rabbi Huda is the author of the Mishnah, and based on that, the cheresh l'chachila can't read, but b'diavad you go to the mitzvah.
What's the halacha mean? The
Mishnahs throughout always talk about a katan being excluded, even though it might be pashut.
But
the
katan that shegi lechinuch is mechayiv in the mitzvah a little bit.
I understand. But the
katan that's not.
I understand your question, but still, nonetheless, even though a katan shelogi lechinuch, you're saying there's no havamina. Throughout Shas, Mishnas are always saying katanim or pater. It's a question you have in many Mishnahs. Then you could still have a good answer.
No, but here we're saying that the Vizim Mandiyoma that's saying that maybe the katan that shelogi lechinuch is it can be yaitzei.
We didn't say that. Where do we see that?
No, there's a hava meaning that you would have thought it unless they came.
No, we said that, again, a katan is pater. When is a katan pater? Only shelo hagi lechinuch is a pater, like every other katan throughout Shas. But hagi lechinuch, then he would be chayv, he would be yotze, he could read lechachila according to Rabbi Yehuda. I don't see the question, but okay. Gemara says, b'mayo kim to Rabbi Yehuda v'dieved. So why are we saying that our Mishnah was authored by Rabbi Yehuda? And when we say the cheresh is pater, it's pasal rather, it's only on a, it's, Ubidiyeved, we said he's able to read it. Let's look at Rashi for a second. Rashi said, look at Rashi, b'mayokim tekar b'yehuda. V'ashma salon, he taught us, we learned, d'chiyam Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda said a statement, below Hishmi l'ozna, when he did not hear it, yoyotz b'diyeved, kamar v'lo l'chachila. So we said that you're Yotze B'di'eved from a Cheresh. So why do we establish the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda? So why is this a Shaila though? What's the Shaila here? Let's keep reading. I think continue reading here. So again, b'mayo kimtik Rabbi Yehuda v'di'eved, elo hodatani Rabbi Yehuda b'rei Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi cheresh ha'medaber v'inu shemea tarm l'chachila. So we have another statement that says, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that a cheresh who's able to speak but can't hear, he's able to do chuma l'chachila. Now even though chuma requires a bracha, when the chuma is given, it's mafresh, the person's mafresh chuma, there's a bracha that's said. So I know you guys are going to tell me brachas only midirabanan. But this is one of the sugars in Gemara and Shabbos that might indicate that brichas and mitzvahs might be deraisa. Different discussion. But either way, lechachila, for a person to take truma, he should have to say a bracha. Fine. So here it says, lechachila, a cheresh is allowed to say, do truma. So who is this? Mani, who authored this? E Rabbi Yehuda, if Rabbi Yehuda authored this, dievid in lechachila lo. He only says, b'dievid, you could let a cheresh do a mitzvah. But we would never let a cheresh do a mitzvah lechachila. So Rabbi Yehuda can't be the author of this Mishnah. And E. Rabbi Yossi, the Avinam Milo, Rabbi Yossi says even B'diavad it doesn't work. So right now we don't have any opinions that think a Cheresh could do something, a mitzvah, lichadchila, that requires hearing. So Gemara says, Ela mai Rabbi Yehuda v'afil lichadchila. So it must be that Rabbi Yehuda was the one who authored this Braisa that allows the Cheresh even lichadchila to take Truma. So that's the case. So now we have the extremes. So Rabbi Yehuda says lichadchila a Cheresh could work. And Rabbi Yossi says, even B'di'evit, a cheresh does not work. No one's in the middle right now. So now we have another problem. Elohad the Tan in the Brisa that tells us that lo yivarech adam b'birkas ha'mazon b'libo, a person shouldn't bench in his, quietly to himself. Vim b'erech, if he does, he's yotzi the mitzvah. So this is a lechachilo, you shouldn't, but B'di'evit, you're yotzi. So right now we have no one who has that middle position anymore. So money, who authored that? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, for Lo Rabbi Yossi. Why? E Rabbi Yehuda authored it. Afilu lechachili. He says you can even daven quietly to yourself and bench quietly. That'd be yotze. And E Rabbi Yossi, he says afilu b'di'evit na'am milo. You're not yotze even b'di'evit if you don't hear the words that you're saying. So who authored this brisa and benching? So the Gemara says, let's try to make it to the two dots, I guess, just for maybe we could make it now. Let's see. Li'olam Rabbi Yehuda. Really, Rabbi Yehuda authored the Mishnah. V'afilu lechachili. He allows you to cheresh to do a mitzvah. The lokasha. Hadidei hadi Rebbe. One's he himself, and one's his Rebbe. So there really are three opinions. There's Rebbe Yossi, who says, B'dievet, it doesn't work. And then there's Rebbe Yehuda and his Rebbe. We don't know who says what just yet. Rebbe Yehuda, I guess, the one who says, Lechachila, he can do it. And Rebbe Yehuda's Rebbe is the one who says, Lechachila, no, but B'dievet, yes. Let's see. The Tani, Rebbe Yehuda, Omer, Mishum, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. In the name of his Rebbe, he says in the Braisa, Hakoreh Shema Tzarech Shishma Le'ozno, Lechachila, you have to hear the words of Shema. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You have to hear the words. Shishmi Lo'aznecha, where we heard the songs yesterday, Ma'asha Tamotzi Mipicha. Hear what you're saying. That's what he quotes from his Rebbe. Comes along, just to finish the brice off to the two dots, Rebbe Meir Omer, Asher Nochi Mitzavcha Yom Alevavcha, Acha Kavanah Salev, Hein Hein Advarm. So he says, no, you could even say it by heart. You could say it by lev. You don't need to hear anything. So Gemara says, Hashe Da'asi L'Rehachi. Now we've established this entire brice. Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yehuda Kirebi. You know what? We don't want to say that the Talmud's arguing with the Rebbe. Let's put together Rebbe Yehuda with his Rebbe. That they say Lechachila Cheresh can't do this, but B'dievet it's good. So who is the one who holds that even Lechachila Cheresh is allowed to do mitzvos? It must be Sfirlei. So it must be Hadatani Yehuda Brei Rabbi Shua Ben Pazi. That maybe we can interpret it to be really Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir is really the one who says Lechachila a Cheresh is allowed to perform mitzvos. So just to review this last part. We have three different opinions. Unclear who says all of them, but the three opinions are Rabbi Yossi, everybody agrees, says, B'dievet, you're not Yotze at all. Then we have two other opinions. One says, Lechachila, Yecheresh could do a mitzvah. And then the middle opinion is, Lechachila, no. B'dievet, yes. Okay, everyone have a wonderful evening. And tomorrow night at my house, 9:10. Yeah, tomorrow. It's Thursday, right? Today's Thursday, isn't it?